Hey everybody, Aaron here for Beards and Comics Podcast. This week we're continuing the discussion that we started last week with Chuck Pino, who is an editor as well as an indie comic book creator and a reviewer. He hosts Chuck's Raw Reviews, which you can subscribe to over on YouTube, where he reviews a lot of different indie comic books. But we're going to continue talking about editing, why it's important in your books, and then we're going to get into a discussion about what's going on in mainstream comics right now. So we hope you guys enjoyed the conclusion of our discussion with Chuck, and we hope you learned something this week. So again, thank you all for listening. Let's get into it. Why would we bother doing podcasts?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. So that would just be a print artist? Better. Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward.
It's good because I would tell most people, keep those mistakes. Don't re-edit that book. Don't do it until you're ready for a trade. Yeah. Because what it does is first off, it makes that book worth a little bit more. You know, it's been, you know, it's older, and you can tell people, hey man, those were the mistakes we made. This is before we learned what was going on. So right. Let me just turn down my volume here. I'm getting notifications from clients. Okay, sorry. So you can kind of show the differences, you know, even later on. You can say, hey, look at all the weird shit we did on issue one, but look how much cleaner issue two is because we learned all these lessons. They get to see the evolution. And that's really cool. That's something that you can't, that these Marvel books don't get to show because right. They should already be there.
Right.
So I would just be happy with it. And then when you go to the trade, you can make those changes. You can go, okay, well, now we know better now.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we look at the book that we kickstarted, that first one, and it's like, we've already come a long way.
Yeah. I've learned so much.
Yeah. But that's what we tell everybody. It's like, just do your first book. Just get it out because you'll feel better first off. And then secondly, you have something to look back on and be like, well, look how much we've changed and how far we've come. But that's what a lot of people struggle with is just getting it done.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is that editors are not expensive either. Like for your book will probably cost you about the same as a cover. So what are you even doing? Like so often people are like, I don't have the money for it. Did you buy a cover? Yeah. Right. Cool. Then you've got money for me. Oh, right. No, but dude, you even have variants. Like, yeah, you have money for the editing. And the thing is that so many of the, you know, not to kind of harp on some things, but so many of the stuff we've enjoyed, it catches your artistic eye, but if someone were really to look and start to peel that away, you'd realize, dude, there's a lot of issues in here.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I know before we kind of wrap up anything, I wanted to, we just were talking about this before we started recording. I assume that you keep your pulse on mainstream comics as well, DC and Marvel and all that, or at least the companies.
A little bit. Yeah. I can't even tell you the last time I read a mainstream comic, but I do listen to the news and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't either. But that's what we were talking about right before. Matt was talking about some DC stuff, and we just thought it'd be a fun thing to discuss.
Okay.
About Dan DiDio. That's the big news right now. But I guess also just the, I don't know.
There was the last shot.
About them, I guess, randomly talking about they're doing a whole nother reboot. And that's basically their last shot is what the rumor is. I don't know how big that rumor is, but like they're going to do a 5G, I guess is what they're calling it, or generation 5 or whatever. Who knows? I don't know anything about DC and what they do anymore. But
the little bit that I've heard is this was actually some shit that Ethan Van Sciver. And now, again, this is just, you know,
it's all hearsay. I don't know. I'm just rumors that I hear.
Gate, don't come at me because I screwed with your bro. Honestly, this is just all I've heard. But
what are you saying, Andy?
But from what I've heard, he just kind of, he had a video and he was just talking shit. And I think the whole reason of him calling it 5G is because DC, Warner Brothers, all that, they're owned by AT&T.
Okay.
That, I think that might have been just kind of a joke that they were playing with.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So I don't, you know what? Honestly, there's too many IPs and all that stuff for them to just drop. And he, like, everyone's like, oh, I'm waiting for them to drop. Okay, well, you know, Grandpa probably waited too, and he's dead now. So I'm just saying, like, I don't see that stuff just disappearing. Especially,
oh, you know, they're not going to drop the IPs. They're going to still make movies of Batman and all that. But yeah, it's just more of the comic publishing side that everybody's worrying about and whatever. And I guess that's one of the things that, like, how big indie stuff is coming up and is mainstream stuff finally hit that tipping point.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's really what we have these random talks all the time. We're just like,
yeah. It's funny though, because what a lot of people don't realize when they're making this discussion is, okay, so, you know, there's all the different takes on what's indie. So some people will say that Image is indie and some people will be like, no, no, no. But let's say you include Image and the rest of them in as a part of indie comics. If humongous, stupid, I don't believe it's going to happen. If Marvel and DC go under, well, then you have a power vacuum. So what happens? Well, then those companies step up and they're the mainstream.
Right.
And
right.
So everyone kind of makes a jump up. So I don't think it affects mainstream comics. Mainstream comics just look differently now, you know, at that point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think all it, you know what the hope for me is that all it does, it says, cool, the age of the superhero is winding down. Let's start telling some different stories.
Whoa.
You want
this. I knew we should have done horror books.
No, but you want this. Because if that happens, then so many of those people, so many of those wannabes, they're going to give up and just be like, cool, well, that's not it anymore. Now I'm going to do horror. Or I'm going to do whatever. And then there's these purists who are going to be like, no, no, no. There's still always going to be a place for superheroes. And they'll try to do them really, really well. And that's where we'll get cool stuff like Invincible and just like these like totally new takes on superheroes unlike we'd seen in a while. So I think actually losing the 60-year-old superheroes could be a huge help.
I agree. So,
and that's the thing. I think it's just everybody's tired of seeing, how many times am I going to see Batman in a different story? I mean,
right.
We like Batman. It's you know, I love Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder. You know, like, that's a huge, great team. But it's one of those things where it's, how many times are you going to reboot it? And how many Batman movies are going to come out? And how many, you know, like...
It's like they reboot it. They realize this didn't work. We got to reboot it again. And now it's just happening quicker and quicker than it was before. And at some point, instead
of coming up with new heroes or new storylines and...
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is, like, make a new hero and a new storyline, because, you know, that's what we started because we were stupid and we were like, let's start superheroes first. We'll do that first off the bat. And that's what we did. And then we realized, like, okay, so Tilt has started finding his audience.
Right.
Mostly women, but but he started finding his little audience. And I just see that growing from there because it's not a normal superhero, you know, copy paste story arc, and I think that's what people are looking for. And like you said, you know, I think if the more that those bigger mainstream gets hit, the more you're going to see that indie stuff kind of flow that vacuum, which would probably just work in our favor. So I'm okay either way.
Yeah, but also it's not so much what the superhero, it's the story. How well is that story told? That's why Invincible did so well. Invincible's it's just a superhero story, but it's done really well.
Or there's a lot of different
take on it, but it's
looking like pretty much for the most part in the last couple of years, like Donnie Cates stuff, he tells those stories in a different way. Like, right. he did, like Cosmic Ghost Rider was a completely different look
right.
at a characters that we're familiar with. And I think that's probably saved Marvel for
a
lot of what they were doing yeah. was just like regurgitation. And then they got Donny Cates
yeah.
and now he's doing every title. But it's just he is like every month it's like another announcement.
Yeah, here you go, Golden Child.
Yeah. Yeah, but that works. I mean, it's just interesting to watch the bigger companies right now, because it's, you know, they've sweated in the past, they've been through their thing where, you know, DC was going to sell a bunch of their stuff back in the 80s or whatever, but it's like it's coming back around, and you know, they're putting so much focus on the movies that DC still can't really get a handle on, that it seems like it's almost like they would rather cut the comic side of stuff and try the movie stuff still. But, yeah, but you know, it's all about that writing though.
No, it's true. It's just funny because you know, you almost want to keep that, because eventually you're going to run out of those stories and people aren't going to it. You know, you almost have to fail at one to do better at the other, you know?
Right.
And so most of these guys are like, look, it's a, and I can't even speak to their numbers. I don't think either of those companies are. I think they're both in the black as far as the print side.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think for a lot of these big guys, it's like, hey, man, we can afford them for them to not make as much profit, because we mm-hmm. can keep taking those characters and doing stuff with them in other mediums. Right, and of right. course, in with merchandising and all that kind of stuff, like all that stuff is still huge. So why would we even worry about that? Eventually, though, that people are going to have enough of that. When does that happen? I have no idea. But that's why we're getting so many of these other, I mean, there's so many comic book TV shows and movies and stuff that you don't even know were comics, you know? Yeah, like, right. And everyone's like, oh, you can tell a comic movie. I'm like, yeah, Road to Perdition. Did you know that was a comic? What?
Right.
Yeah. Like all sorts of 30 days. Yeah. Right.
30 days.
Boom.
Stuff like that. Like,
boom.
Yeah.
Well, those shot calls. Somebody get some cream for that burn.
Yeah.
But it really is nonstop now. Yeah. And they're, you know, I don't want to get ahead of stuff that we're working on behind the scenes, but they are looking for that stuff. They're those studios for producing TV shows and movies. They are looking for different versions. And when you have a comic book or you have a graphic novel, it's like, hey, here's what the story looked like. So they at least even have that. Where it's like, okay, well, let's take that story and storyboard it.
Right.
And so they have something to build it off of. It's almost like you've got a step up on just throwing a script at somebody.
Yeah, you basically storyboarded the show.
Exactly.
Just so they get a clip of it.
Look at Netflix. What were two of their biggest hits for the last 2 years? Umbrella Academy and Lock and Key.
Right.
Hello? You know? Yeah. And then for a witch.
That's another.
Boom, boom.
Which is very much, and then you got like Witcher, which obviously is not a comic, but it is a comic now, but it didn't start that way. So, I mean, there's all sorts of great storytelling being told. Whatever happens to the bigs, it doesn't affect us, man.
Oh, no.
Not necessarily in a negative way anyways.
Well, you see a lot. I've seen it coming up a whole lot lately is different artists and writers that have worked for these big guys are jumping over to indie because they get to tell stories that aren't regurgitated mess that they've, you know, because if you go to work for one of the big two, at some point you got to tell the same story that's already been told and try to do it in a different way. And so I think a lot of them still, they want to be able to create stories, or they're perfectly fine just doing that.
And if any of them are listening, we would love to interview you.
Yeah, we'll blot your face out and change your voice and you can say whatever you want.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it. What else?
So much to talk about.
So much to talk about.
I know, right?
Chuck, what do you got? What do you want to say? Tell the people.
For new people, I loved when we were talking earlier about kind of breaking in and whatnot. One of the other ways I broke in was comic book reviewing for me. And so I have Chuck's Robert Reviews, and I kind of took my own different take on it. As an editor, if I want to rip your book apart, don't worry, man. I can find a way. But what does that do for anybody? Like, all that really does is make me look like the smartest dude in the room, which doesn't help anyone else. And at the end of the day, who wants to send me their book? And is that even enjoyable to watch? Like,
yeah.
So there, I didn't want to do that. So what I did was I decided, look, I'm only going to review books that I can actually enjoy, or at least that I can push someone towards enjoying and say, hey man, like, this is a really cool book. It's, you know, maybe it's not for me because I don't know, I'm not a big manga guy. So, you know, but if the storytelling is there and the look is there and all that, you guys will love it. And so that's what I did. And now, you know, that's been going really well. I always have tons of books just sitting around, either physical copies or digitals that people throw at me to review and talk about. And people, you know, I mean, that's what we need. And the reason why I started it is because that's what I wanted. I wanted someone who was genuinely going to look at my book and say, okay, it's not perfect, but I really like this. I can see what they were trying to do here. Let's talk about it. Let's tell people about it. And that's all I wanted for myself. And so I did it for someone else. And I continue to do that because I do love what I'm sent. I do get to, you know, there's multiple different great things about it. I do love what I'm sent. I do like being able to talk about all these really cool books and having read them and checked them out. It also helps me to see, you know, different takes on the medium and all that kind of stuff. Like, you can see some really cool, it's indie. So we're all, you know, you're either regurgitating or you're trying to reinvent the wheel, or maybe you're so new that you're playing with stuff that people never even considered before. So there's a lot that you can take from and enjoy with it. So I've been having a blast with that. And of course, you know, it always keeps my name out there because, again, I'm dropping reviews and people are sharing them. And so, you know, it helps me as well, but it's also giving these people a great platform and a way to show off their stuff. I like that. One of the taglines of the show is, I've been giving creators a reason to curse on the backs of their books since 2017. And because I'll be like, man, this is a great fucking book. Like, I love this shit. And they love seeing that. You know, I can't tell you how often it's like, I got a really good review, but it's NSFW. Like, don't watch this at work. And I've had people come to me and say, why don't you do clean reviews? And I was like, because everyone does. I don't want to do that. Like, it's not fun for me. My passion comes out in my cursing.
Yeah. Yeah, see, even with our own stuff, it's like, you know, who Matt and I might be off the podcast and when we're just hanging out and stuff, you know, we're still going to, when we come to people, we're going to try to emit some sort of, like, professionalism as low-key as we can.
Yeah, but, I mean, we'll joke and have a good time and make people feel comfortable. I would never want somebody coming to me and, like, ask me to look at their book and maybe, like, and I, like, fix my monocle, well, and then, like, look at their book. And
to that point as well, we, you know, we've had people come up to us and give us stuff to look at tables at cons and stuff, which is also hilarious because, again, we've only been, you know, publishing since last March.
Yeah, we're honest about it. We're like, listen, we're not that much farther ahead than you right now. Yeah,
we got one book up on you. But we sent out Tilt, the first one, to a few different a few different places to get it reviewed. And, you know, once you send it out, then you're like, I don't know if I should have sent it to that place. Cause one of the reviews that we got was from, like, you know, there's like Bleeding Cool, Major Spoilers. Like, there's those ones that review typically Marvel, DC kind of stuff. And so when they review indie stuff, you know, they're going to be harsher on it right off the bat because it's like, well, this isn't anyone, you know, so I can say whatever I want.
Right.
And you're a reviewer, but you're also a creator. So you understand all we want is for someone to read it. And if they enjoy it, that's what matters most, is like, did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Not like, here's all the little errors that I picked out of it. It's like, dude, did you read it? Did you like it at all? Did you enjoy it?
There was a couple eyes with bars on them.
Yeah, it left some bars on the eyes.
Yeah, nope. That's a big pass on this book.
The first thing you can get from sending me a book is, and I've had to do it a couple times, is I get back to you and I say, look, dude, I can't talk about this book. I just did not enjoy it. It wasn't for me, and I don't want to. I can't give you a good review.
And that's honesty, yeah, though. Like, yeah. I would rather somebody just message me and be like, hey, I don't want to put you on blast.
And the reason why is because I got to edit this so much, like how I'm going to say everything I'm about to say, is we know people that that may have a book that's out through people get it published through all different houses.
Right.
And there might be books that are just like, you read it and you're like, how in the world did this make it through and actually end up in stores and stuff like that? And you read it and it's just like, man, it's so weak all on every point.
Right.
And it's like, and then you put, it's like, how much effort did you do to actually get that out? And then like, we're over here like, oh my God, this is so difficult.
Right.
And it's like, it's just breeze through. And it's for a lot of people that have been in the game for a while, you know, it gets a little bit easier to just pass things through, even on the indie market. And like you just said, sometimes there's books that you can't, you've got to be like, I don't think I can talk about this book.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite stories to tell with editing and whatnot is, I love this because this kind of shows integrity is so important in what we do. And the thing is, there's a lot of those Facebook publishers who they publish your book, but then when you really look at it, like, what are they doing? Like, what are they doing that you can't do? Because, I mean, you guys are self-published. You did your own thing. Like, you're distributing it. You're getting it out there. So what are they doing that we can't do? And so someone got in touch with me and said, hey, man, there's this dude. He needs his book edited. He needs someone to go over it. Can you do it? And I was like, yeah, okay. So the creator and I started talking. He did everything. He wrote it, drew it, all of it. I said, what do you need done? He said, honestly, it's done. Okay. He said, I need you to go over and proof it and make it look good. And I was like, yeah, okay, I can do that. Yeah. All right. He said, I can't pay you. I said, okay, well, by this time I was already kind of established. So I was like, well, you're an artist. Can you do like a variant cover for me or something? And he's like, oh yeah, I could do that. Great. Cool. We'll just make it a trade. We're fine. So, and again, that's something that you can do is, you know, if you're just a writer or you are an artist and you want someone to edit or write for your book, you can do a trade-off. So there's all sorts of different ways to make this stuff work. And money doesn't always have to come into the picture. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's do it. I went over the book and I had 3 full note pages of proofing from this little like 30 page book, which is an awful lot.
Yeah.
Like, it was obvious no one had gone over this. So I wrote it all out. Then I typed it up to him. I sent it to him. And a couple days later he said, okay, cool. So, I'm not gonna worry about any of that. I got picked up by a publisher. I'm like, wait, what? And I won't mention the publisher, but I'll tell you, I've never been able to look at them the same way. But I got picked up by a publisher. And
we'll have a discussion now off screen.
Yeah, for sure. when we stop recording, we're gonna have a different conversation.
Okay, yeah. All right, guys, we'll take a quick break.
But I sent it out, but he said, yeah, I sent it to this publisher and they loved it. We're gonna publish it as is. And I went, whoa. I just sent you 3 pages of proofing. If they're cool with this, they don't give a crap about your book. He's like, no, 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 man. They're going to publish it. They're excited. They love it. We're good. I'm like, cool. Is my name on that book? He's like, no, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, 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 we're good. Don't you dare put my name on the book.
Don't.
Like, I did not do it. And I even went so far as to never accept the variant cover from them. I just said, wow. You know what? Don't even worry about the art. This is my bad. I lost out. And he's like, are you sure? And I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't, like, if you're cool with that kind of stuff happening, I don't want to see your art. I don't want to see it. Like, none of it is going to be cool for me. And I don't want to have to deal with that. So I just would rather take the loss, step away, and I learn something.
Well, yeah. Plus, every time you see it, you would have seen it. You would have been like, oh.
Well, yeah. I think the one thing is, people don't understand how much it matters to associate with certain people.
Uh-huh.
And if they have a bad reputation of, I really just, I want to make a book. I don't really care how well it's done as long as it gets done.
Right.
But yeah. Then you put your name on it. It looks bad on you because you're telling that person that's okay. And yeah, you could put my art on there. And
yeah,
no, I'd rather work with somebody that cares. And, you know, I'm not just going to go do a cover for anybody. What's the book about? Like, is it, what kind of people are you? Do you care about the book? Let me see what you're putting out, because honestly, it's your name and you're getting attached to it. And
yeah.
And if they, if the ship goes down, are they going down with you?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
what a lot of people don't seem to recognize is if they don't give a shit about something as small as spelling, which is so easily fixed.
Oh man.
If they don't care about that, what do they care about? Like, right. Where are they actually going to do good for you? And yeah. So it's that kind of stuff. Like, how you deal with A is probably how you're going to deal with B, C, D, and all the rest. So if you're not willing to put the work in and give a shit just about that little thing that's so easily fixed, I didn't even go into the plot holes and the bull crap. But
right.
if you're not even willing to care about spelling, then what do you care about? What are you going to do?
Why is there a word balloon over the character's face? That's cool. It's somewhere.
Yeah, just let it go.
That's how you know he's talking.
Yeah. Going into his elbow. Is his elbow speaking? Like, yeah, man.
Yeah, that kind elbow. Of stuff. Well, you know, it's also what teams you have on stuff was something that we've been realizing. And so like with Tilt 1 and 2, we got the same artist and letterer. So when I was finished with my part,
you're same letter. Same letter.
But I send it back to them and I tell them, you know, look through it. Let me know what you think of. If there's stuff that you want to see different or you have thoughts on it, send it to me. And I think a little bit of humility. I don't want people to just, especially my team, I don't want them to just say, everything's great, awesome job. No, I need some feedback. I need to know what can be improved and stuff like that. Well, that guy you were just talking about, it sounds like all he really wanted was for you to be like, looks great. And that was it. He wanted validation instead of showing a little humility.
I think at the time he really wanted it all to happen and to do well. I don't think he saw himself being picked up by a publisher, especially that quick. Right. So when he did, you know what? He was like a kid in a candy store. You know what I mean? He got excited and he grabbed it and went, he spent all his money on the things closest to the counter. He didn't look around, you know? And so he didn't pick up on any of those tells that hopefully a lot of us will see and kind of go, wait, maybe you're not, you know, like, I want to be published. I want someone to pick up my books and sell them and do all that crappy work that I really would rather spend my time writing or editing or doing something else.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to care at least as much, if not more than me, then cool. You're not right for me. Goodbye.
Well, how did it end up for him?
So his books have stopped and he's not with that company anymore. I haven't kept up with that person. You know, we're still like Facebook friends or whatever, but I haven't kept up with him at all. All I know is he's not there anymore. That book's not there. And he does not talk kindly about his early work. And I think it's because he knows that he put out shit.
Right.
And that he didn't have the right people on his corner. And if he had listened, I think he could have put out some way better stuff earlier on.
Proof's in the pudding.
Yep.
anything else?
Oh, man.
On any side?
I was trying to think of. I had one point, but it's gone now. We were talking about
it. I saw that drinking last night.
There's like two beers. Two beers.
Beers and comics.
Beers and comics. BBC.
Yeah, BBC. Oh, God. All right, well, are all hearts and minds clear?
Sure.
That's going to be my new ending thing. It was all hearts and minds clear. Okay. Well, we're going to continue to talk to Chuck just because I want his input on this other thing. But for everyone listening to the podcast, Chuck, thank you so much. Now, I think a lot of people got away.
Wait.
Okay. What you got?
Does Chuck have anything he wants to plug?
Well, yeah. We haven't gotten there yet.
Is that where we're at?
I just wanted to thank him first.
Oh, Chuck. Thank you. Jeez, I got to make sure this man gets his dues.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to thank him and say I think a lot of what he just talked about, a lot of people get a lot out of.
That's true.
You hit some points that people have said to us that they want to hear us discuss on the show. So I think, you know, you did some of our job for us, and we appreciate you have a beard, so it counts. So we appreciate right? that. But definitely give us your slew of whatever you got going on and everything you want people to know about.
All right. Yeah. So check out facebook.com/bonfirepress. That's my little publishing wing for my own stuff. We got some cool stuff coming up. Not only the next issue of Welcome the Void, but my wife is working on her own comic book now. So we're really excited to talk about that and push that. And my publishing partner, he's got some stuff coming too. So Bonfire Press, keep an eye on that. Also check out facebook.com/ Belial Comic. That's a comic that I do with my good buddy and inker, Sean Barber. Really great book. Really excited for that one. You can check me out on Facebook, Chuck Pino, P-I-N-E-A-U. And you can always see all the cool stuff that I'm editing and working on, writing, etc. Twitter at Chucky Pin, Chuck's Raw Reviews on YouTube. And I would love it if you guys checked out the crazy brainchild that myself and Eric Cockrell have worked together, known as Essence House. You can find it on pretty much all of the major podcast sites right now. I would love for you guys to check that out. It's a weird metaphysical mystery. There's just all sorts of craziness going on, and it's a nice little 20-minute thing. So on your way to work, it's perfect, perfect thing to listen to and not have to listen to the same old tunes. So yeah, man, hit me up. I'd love to see what you guys are doing, and I'd love for you to check out what we've got going on.
Yeah, we got to talk Chuck into giving some sort of resource on our Beards and Comics Discord. We have a resources folder for people that are just looking for stuff, and we've dropped a couple of books that have helped us along the way, like Words with Pictures, and you dropped something for, what was it, Anatomy? Or
I don't know. I dropped. Yeah, whatever. I put a bunch of stuff on there. We don't have enough space.
Have you guys mentioned Scott McCloud's books?
Oh yeah. Oh no, we haven't. I know about them, but I don't, like I said, we just started the Discord. So like
last week
for like people that want it, like when people ask, there's Scott McCloud, there's so many books.
Yeah.
And it comes from different things.
Wrote a good book as well. I think a lot of those, it's so funny because sometimes there's books that people will send out and they're like, oh, you got to read this. Like, Making Comics the Marvel Way. I don't even want to read it. I don't want to look at it. Look, it's nothing against any of those people who enjoy it or whatnot. For me, it is literally in style the antithesis of how I work. And so I'm just don't want to check it out. And that's not a hit on Marvel. These people are professionals and they're making books differently. They have to pump books out monthly. So they need to make a little bit of they need to be willing to do things differently in order to get that out quickly. For me, I don't have that issue. I would rather work my butt off to go over every panel and make it look right and all that kind of stuff. And so if I can do that, that's how I'm going to do it. So that's not a book I'm going to push, but definitely the Scott McCloud books, anything by Will Eisner, Words and Pictures is absolutely brilliant. I own that one, and I've just been delving into that one. So, yeah, there's all sorts of good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People need those resources. But, Chuck, thank you again. I think people got some good stuff out of it. We're going to stop the recording, but we'll keep talking. Guys, until next time, Beards and Comics, check us out on anywhere you get your podcasts. Except for iHeartRadio, because I still haven't gotten that activated.
What a jerk.
But yeah, Facebook, we're Catalyst Comic Studio. And jump on our Discord. Let us know. You can hit up me, Matt Cat. And come see us next month, March 28th, 29th at South Carolina Comic Con. Until next.